is the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. In other words, you've only got 24 hours to live and you're going to die.
Yes, and because Elijah had just run all these miles, and it was through hill country. This is phenomenal to me that a human being can run like that. We see people like Lance Armstrong on their bikes running and winning races 2,100 plus miles in 23 days, and yet this man outran a chariot. And he was exhausted, Darren. He had gone through probably 24 hours when the prophets of Baal and Asherah were screaming for their gods. He had built himself up in the Lord, probably hadn't eaten anything.
And he was killing those prophets.
That's right. And then he was killing the prophets. He ran to Jezreel. He was exhausted, and he became afraid.
But I want to say this, that many times where there's tremendous anointing pouring through a person, through a minister or prophet of the gospel, then there is a real letdown.
Yes.
And I think this is a message to all of us. Be careful. Be careful. In fact, this morning the Lord God was saying to me, you know, the anointing is really increasing in some things that you're a part of right now.
Yes.
But you've got to be careful. You've got a chance to divide your focus here and get into bitterness and get into criticism, get into judgment.
Mm-hmm.
Don't allow that to happen. Keep your focus.
That's right. It's so true. And here in verse 3, we see that even this mighty man of God that had seen so many miracles, that had seen oil and meal go for 3.5 years, had seen a dead person raised from the dead. He had actually seen that, and he had seen God come down in fire and lick up even the water and the stones of a sacrifice. He became afraid, and it is natural for a human being to become afraid in very distressful times like this. But God has given us 2 Timothy 1:7, because he wants you to become immediately strong, that God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So we turn that fear into speaking and confessing the word of God, that we are not afraid. Though the mountains be cast into the sea, though the earth come and be totally destroyed, O Lord, I am not afraid. And that's from Psalm 46. So here we see him alone and isolated. He becomes afraid. And God brings an angel, Darren, to strengthen him, to encourage him, and to comfort him, to feed him. And so this angel says, arise and eat, because the journey is great for you. You're going on a long journey. The angel comes and bakes a cake for him and touches him a second time. So Elijah rises up, eats and drinks, and goes in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of the Lord. And that's who many people believe, that Sinai is actually Mount Horeb.
Well, I think it's very interesting that the Lord God came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? And he said, I have been zealous for the Lord and the God of hosts, for the sons of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, torn down your altars, killed thy prophets with the sword, and I alone am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Now, I'd like to say this. When you're tired, don't make a major move or a major
yes.
decision. Now, I try to go by that counsel for myself, that when I'm tired, I like to lay my notebook down, lay my Bible down, don't pray. Maybe I go to bed early, or I do something to distract myself, watch a little television, take a walk, do something, because I cannot make judgments during that time. I can't make decisions because I'm not trustworthy.
Mm-hmm.
Now here the prophet wasn't either. And then in verse 17 of chapter 18, it says, go forth and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord was passing by, and a great and strong wind was rending the mountains and breaking in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake, and after earthquake a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire, and at the fire a sound of gentle blowing. And it came about, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? The second time he asking him that.
Yes. Now in these verses, we see power. We see power unleashed here. And Elijah sees all of the power that it took to create the worlds in front of him, from the earthquake, the strong winds, the fire. But God wasn't in that. And I believe it shows us just a little example of Pentecost here, Darren. The still, small voice, the blowing of the wind, And he's saying, I'm going to take care of you, Elijah. I'm going to take care of you through anything that might come along. I am going to take care of you. But you need to be so sensitive that you hear me in a still, small blowing of the wind. And that's the Holy Spirit. And Darren, I find that the enemy loves to make things so loud around us, so confusing around us, that we can't hear his voice sometimes when he's wanting to speak to us.
Well, sometimes I think people would say this, Lord, all hell is breaking loose all around me. Now, I'm going to read a verse here, and I want you to apply this to your family, to your associates, and to the people you know. In verse 14 of chapter 19, here's what it says. I've been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the sons of Israel have forsaken thy covenant and torn down thy altars and killed thy prophets with the sword, and I alone am left, and they seek my life to take it away. You might say something like this, my whole family has abandoned me, I don't have any friends left,
yes.
I'm the only one that's sticking up for you, Lord, where are you and what's going on?
Yes.
It's about over. And he said, you know, he's basically saying, just kill me and get it over with. You know, I'm no better than my fathers, and that's what it says here in the text. I'm no better than my fathers.
It's a little bit like Jonah, you know, Lord, just do away with me. And I believe that everybody can get burned out at this point, but God is wanting to strengthen us. He's saying, I want you to be strengthened in my spirit. And that's what Jesus, he was strengthened by the angels the night before he was crucified. And we need to confess that God is going to give us the strength we need to get through what we have to get through.
But you know, I think God was giving the old prophet a peek at the end of his ministry here.
I do too. And here the Lord says to him in verse 15 of chapter 19, go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you have arrived, you shall anoint Hazael king of Aram, and Jehu the son of Nimshi you shall anoint king over Israel, and Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel-Mehelah, and Baal-Mehelah, I guess is the name, you shall anoint as prophet in your place. So here he's giving him three orders, not only to anoint the king of Aram, but the new king of Israel, and also a man to take his place, Darren. You're absolutely right. He's giving him a little inkling into, now your time is over with Elijah, and you need to anoint a new person to take over. And that person is Elisha. And it came about, the one who escapes from the sword of Hazael, Jehu shall put to death, and the one who escapes from the sword of Jehu, Elisha shall put to death. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. So Elijah departed from there. Now God gave him explicit orders here, Darren. He got alone with God for a while. He depended upon him, and God gave him special orders. This is so important. He went and he found Elisha and the son of Shaphat while he was plowing. Now here it was an agrarian society, like you said, and here was Elisha doing his work. He was behind a team of, I believe it was 12 oxen. So he was a strong man.
12.
Yes.
Have you ever seen, you know, on some of these wagons they have, I think I have seen like 6 or 8 horses, you know, two side by side. But here this man is driving 12 oxen. Now, I don't know if there were 4 and 4 and 4 or if there was just 2, 2 and 2, you know, on up to 12.
Wow.
But it takes a tremendously strong person to pull the reins. And I've watched them do that with horses. You know, they know which horse they need to lean on a little bit. And they've got these reins in their hands. They've got, I mean, they've got more reins than they have fingers.
Yes.
And yet they're guiding that tremendous team of horses. But here we were talking about 12 oxen.
So finally, Elijah gets a partner. And I really believe that he became a mentor to this younger man, Elisha. Now, Elisha had asked him if he could just kiss his father and mother goodbye, and then he sacrificed. So here was a man who knew the law. He was a man who was very spiritual. He also was a man who was willing to leave his mom and dad, his family. And there are some people today, Darren, that are not willing to do that. They're not willing to leave their families to do the work of the Lord. And I believe sometimes it's very important to tell God, God, I am willing to leave my mom and my dad and my children and my house and my farm. It's again Mark 10:29.
And my familiar surroundings.
My familiar
where
surroundings.
Where I'm so comfortable.
Yes.
And it said, so he returned from following him and took a pair of oxen, sacrificed them, boiled their flesh with the implements of the oxen and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and followed Elijah and ministered to him.
Yes.
Very, very interesting portions of Scripture.
It really is. And the next time we see Elijah is in 2 Kings. Now, this is right before he's going to be with the Lord. And even